Hello and happy Wednesday, September 15th. This is the Tantrum Hour Report. You're tuned in to CHMA 106.9 FM in Sackville, New Brunswick. The CHMA studio is located in the traditional lands of the Mi'kmaq people, unceded in the Treaties of Peace and Friendship, first signed with settlers in 1725. I'm Meg Cunningham. Here's what's coming up today. New Brunswick continues its hot streak of high daily COVID-19 case numbers, with 35 new cases discovered across all health zones. Live Bait Theatre is gearing up to launch its 2021-2022 season at the end of this month. And EOS Eco Energy wants to help Sackville businesses go green, or greener, with the Tantrum Our Green Shops initiative. New Brunswick continues to discover new cases of COVID-19 across all health zones in the province, most of which are popping up in this zone, Zone 1. Yesterday, Public Health discovered 35 new cases, 16 of which are in the Moncton region. Of those 35 new cases in the province, 30 patients were not fully vaccinated. Three of the new cases in Zone 1 are people under the age of 19, and six other people of similar age also fell ill in Zone 5. Most of the cases in Zone 1, however, are people in their 20s. 11 people remain in the hospital in New Brunswick, and 8 patients are in intensive care units. Everyone in their 20s, except those with allergies or another medical condition, is eligible to be vaccinated. Everyone who turns 12 this year, except people with allergies or another medical condition, is eligible to be vaccinated. According to provincial, national, and global health authorities, vaccination is the best way to keep you and your loved ones out of hospitals if you were to contract COVID-19. Vaccination is also the best way to keep you, your loved ones, and community members from dying of the disease, which is constantly mutating. Vaccines are available at the corner drugstore or through a Vitality clinic right here in Sackville at the Civic Center. Appointments can be made online at thecornerdrugstore.ca or gnb.ca/bookavaccine. A positive case was identified in multiple schools in Zone 3, the Fredericton region, resulting in both schools being closed today and classes being conducted online. Students and staff of Fredericton High and Andover Elementary will join class online today while Public Health conducts contact tracing and risk assessment. Students and their parents will be contacted directly by Public Health if there's a risk they were exposed to COVID-19 in the classroom. There are new exposure notifications in nearly every health zone, including Zone 1, which are in both Moncton and Chediac. Be sure to check the exposure notifications list. Any public place could potentially be an area of exposure at any time. Nova Scotia is also having a spike in new cases, with 66 new ones identified yesterday. In light of the new cases, the province has pumped the brakes on its Phase 5 plan, which is Nova Scotia's equivalent of a green phase. Phase 5 won't start until at least October 4th, pending case counts and the spread of COVID-19. The new cases brings the active case count to a sudden 173 active cases in Nova Scotia, the majority of which are in the Colchester Community Health Network, which covers Truro. 17 cases are in the Cumberland County, our immediate neighbors to the east, which includes Amherst. Live Bait Theatre is setting the stage for its season launch party at the end of this month, with a busier lineup than ever before. The theatre company has just started to dip its toe into performing in public again since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, with an outdoor production of A Midsummer Night's Dream during Festival by the Marsh. But Live Bait's president, Cynthia Spurls, says the fun is just beginning.
We've lots of stuff lined up for the new season. And at the launch, we'll have a performance short performance by Heather McIntyre as Grandma. She plays Grandma in the dinner theaters. So we'll have a dinner theater. There'll be some music and reading. And for our season, we're going to have In October 8th, Aiden Towns, who is a singer from Fredericton, he's quite well known. He's going to be coming to Sackville. He's going to be at Mel's on Sunday, October 8th. Mel's have started to have live performances there. We are going to have some plays for young people. Hopefully we'll be doing the One Man Christmas Carol in November. We had planned to do that last year, then with COVID that was canceled. And hopefully again we'll have the dinner theater. We have workshops for children planned. We're going to be doing a premiering a new play. Yeah, we're going to have that probably in July. And a new works festival that we've had before, and all kinds of new exciting stuff.
The thought of performing in public with COVID-19 still in circulation does make Spurls nervous, but she says she's also very excited to show what Live Bay Theater has been up to.
It's good. It's very exciting. It's a little frightening, I guess, or, you know, disconcerting, especially since the cases have started to rise again. I know it's, you know, listen to the press conference today and they were saying, you know, it's with unvaccinated people. We're making sure that there are masks available at performances and the front of house and staff are wearing masks and, you know, people are available for people. And we're encouraging people to wear masks if they would like to, and to social distance if they want to, you know. That's ongoing, you know. Mm-hmm.
The season launch party is September 26th, and Spurl says the theater company has already received several donations to help with the new season. Donations at the party are definitely welcome, but she insists that they are by no means necessary.
We've had actually a really good response. We've had several donations through e-transfers from people for the, you know, for the new season. So that will be wonderful. And, you know, but it, we want people to come, and you don't have to bring a donation if you come. Just if you want to, that would be wonderful. If you don't, just come and see what we're doing and take part in our performances and come to them, and we're always looking for people to volunteer as well. So
that was Live Bait Theater President Cynthia Spurls. Live Bait's 2021-2022 season launch party is coming up on September 26th at the Sackville United Church. More information is available on livebaittheater.com. EOS Eco Energy wants to help Tantramar businesses of all kinds go green, or at least go greener, with their Tantramar Green Shops initiative. Similar to the project of a similar name in Fredericton, Projects Coordinator Lauren Clark wants to serve as a consultant for businesses who want to lessen their carbon footprint but might not know where to start. Clark says that no project is too small, and she wants to make environmentalism in business as accessible as possible. Here's Clark with more.
We wanted to sort of give the business community an opportunity to have a program that would help them either highlight some environmental initiatives that they've taken on or maybe help them get started on some if they're not really sure where to start. I'm pretty excited about it. We have based it off of a program that was done in Fredericton a few years ago, and theirs was called Green Shops, and so we have sort of that like manual how it was done back then, and we're sort of just doing like a pilot year with it. So I'm able to do 10 businesses in the Tantramar area that are interested, and I'm hoping to be able to expand the program next year to be able to reach more businesses.
Let's say I don't know, I'm a business owner and I have not even started to think about my environmental impact. Are you serving as like a consultant? How will you tackle that with them?
Yeah, so the way it would work is if they're interested, I can set up a meeting with them and we can go through sort of like the questionnaire, like the sort of matrix where I go through different categories and we sort of talk about what's going on currently with like energy use, water use, waste, and see what areas that they'd like to work on. And then I've been sort of accumulating some resources and talking to different folks at like NB Power or different waste haulers to sort of see what options are out there for folks. And so, you know, happy to share those resources and sort of help point folks in the direction that they might want to go into or see if they want to, you know, keep track of their emissions or anything like that. Yeah, that's kind of how we would start it.
Okay. Is it very much led by what the business wants to prioritize, or do you have input there?
I would certainly have, like, suggestions, but it's certainly up to the business in terms of what they want to focus on, if they're interested and, you know, have the resources to be able to maybe take some steps towards doing that. I know it's like a really challenging time right now for everybody, but especially for businesses because of, you know, COVID and stuff. So I certainly want to be like inclusive in this program because I know that, you know, a lot of businesses took on a lot of debt and, you know, maybe some businesses before COVID, you know, didn't have the resources to like invest in some things. So I really want to make this program accessible, you know, to folks and not just be, you know, the businesses with lots of money that can afford to, you know, put solar panels on the roof. Like, it's definitely not not just about that. It's definitely, I'm trying to make it more accessible and inclusive.
Right. Totally. That makes sense. Is any sort of impact or environmental project too small? Like, if even if they just want help finding an affordable compostable container, if they do takeout, is that too small of a project?
No, not at all. And that's I'm glad you mentioned that because I've been talking with Eco360 and we talked about if there's businesses that are interested, they could make up sort of individualized guides for the businesses in terms of helping their like clients to sort their waste. Like if you're in the business, like you eat in and then you have like waste, like sort of helping them with like pictures of maybe their takeout cups or something like that, like to help the clients, you know, figure out what goes where in terms of waste and that sort of thing. Like, yeah, no, I don't think anything is too small. For sure. I mean, if you, you know, it is sort of like a certification program. And so if you, you know, want to be called a green shop, it's not sort of just enough to be like, well, I, you know, turn my lights off when I leave, you know, like it needs to be a little bit more than that. And especially in terms of goals and things you want to work towards, that's definitely an important component. But I think there's definitely room for lots of different projects.
What do business owners stand to gain, for lack of a better word, with this program?
Yeah, well, I think that this program can help them sort of either maybe retain some customers or attract some new customers. You know, because if you're certified as a green shop, I think that's definitely something that's positive that most people see in a positive light. And we really want to help businesses to highlight some of the things that they're doing because it's not always obvious, you know, when you walk in what a business is doing, whether they're, you know, I don't know, recycling cans or whether, you know, the furniture in their shop is repurposed or, you know, if they're using some sort of energy efficient appliance or something like that. Like it's not something that's super visible unless you know, really had a conversation with like a business owner. So I'm hoping to make that information more accessible to folks and to clients or customers. So I'm planning to have like a green shop sign for each business that participates, and there'll be a little QR code on there where folks can take a picture of it with their phone, and it'll bring up a part of the EOS website where we'll have the list, the little green shop's profile of that business, and you can kind of read about what they're working on and what they've got going on in terms of environmental stewardship. So my plan would just be to meet with them a couple times. Okay. So I would say like a max of 3 hours total. But again, that depends on the business, and it depends on, you know, how much they want to do and how many environmental initiatives they have going on and stuff like that. But definitely an initial meeting to sort of chat and see where they are in terms of different things and what they'd like from the program. And then like a follow-up and, you know, before I, you know, publish, you know, their profile on the website, like, they'd definitely be welcome to take a look at it and let me know if I'm missing something. Like sometimes you don't think of everything you have going on and then you're like, oh yeah, I just remembered, you know, that I'm also doing this. So, there'd be a bit of back and forth there, but, not a huge time commitment, but, okay. Yeah, as much as they would like, I guess.
That makes sense. And this sounds very much like a consultation service. Is there a sort of consultation fee at all, or is it just contact you?
Yeah, no, it's just to contact me. It's all been funded through ETF, the Environmental Trust Fund for New Brunswick. So it's a free service that we're providing, and I am only able to do it with 10 businesses total for this year. But like I said, I am hoping to be able to expand in the future. There's also a cool program with Green Economy New Brunswick, and they're sort of doing something similar, and that one does have like a membership fee and stuff like that. But like I said, it's sort of part of the bigger resource package that I've sort of accumulated for businesses that would be interested. I'd be happy to share that information.
That was Lauren Clark, Projects Coordinator with EOS Eco Energy. Business owners can get in touch with Clark at 536-4487 or by emailing energy.eos@nb.aibn.com. That's all for today's report, but before I sign off, I want to let listeners know that today is actually my last day with CHMA News. I want to thank everyone who turned into this show, whether it was once in a while or every day, and those who read my stories online. Thank you to those who told me your stories over this past year and a half. It was truly my pleasure to write and report on the Tantramar. Please continue to support CHMA News in the future and the amazing Erica Butler, the station's news director. As always, to get in touch with CHMA News, you can email news@chmafm.com. Your tips, leads, and feedback are very important in keeping us on top of what's going on in the Tantramar. I'm Meg Cunningham. Thank you for listening.